It seemed like everybody want to be a boss these days. Everybody want to be a boss till it's time to pay out, you feel me? Till it's time to pay that boss cost. They ain't trying to have them tough conversations. Ain't trying to put in them extra hours, catching that windfall money, dealing with folks not being consistent. Don't get me started on the lack of sleep, but you know what they say.
Boss Life, BOSSFEST, Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right. BOSSFEST, the Boss Fest Podcast. They might make you laugh, make you mad, make you cry. Either way it go, it's a vibe. Tune in, catch the topic, get the tea. Ain't no shallow waters over here, we get deep. You sensitive, easy to offend, you need to flee. But them tough conversations gonna be happening. Boss Fest Podcast, they hold it down. Wednesday, 7 Eastern, man, it's going down. Tell a friend to tell a friend and y'all gather round. Get active in the comments, don't get lost in the crowd.
Hey, what's happening? It's your man DJ Bush. I had to show love to Kevin and Edwina, Boss Fest Butler. Y'all know what time it is, the Boss Fest Podcast. But you already know what we live in.
Boss Life, BOSSFEST, Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right.
What's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome again to another edition of the Boss Fest Podcast. How y'all doing today? I am Kevin.
Oh, look, I'm Edwina. And it's Wednesday. We know we're a little late, but we here.
It's a little late and we here. Hopefully everybody's having a good Wednesday. I can't even hear myself now. Either way. So hopefully everybody's having a good Wednesday.
Don't worry, we hear you loud.
We got a good one today. We got a good one today. We're going to talk about several different topics before we get into that. No, it's Wednesday. You doing good today, babe?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm excited for the topics. It's going to give you guys a taste of like what we're trying to do with our YouTube channel and really trying to transition. Why I got to be so loud? You know, when you get older, the hearing is the first thing to go. It'd be the hearing. That'd be the first thing. I can hear myself just fine.
Okay. I want to make sure that the audio out there sounds just fine as well. Let me do what I need to do.
It's been a long time since I talked about my sound, man. Don't make me run it back.
See, the problem is if I'm controlling everything, then we're good. If you control stuff, then it's issues. So
I don't control stuff.
You try to control stuff from the background, but it's not a good look. So
I love to come in already. Wild out Wednesday, because baby, we finna wild out.
Listen. So like I said earlier, we got a good one today. We got a good one today. We're going to talk about several different topics. Typically, on the podcast, we normally just give you one blanket title and things of that nature, and we will keep with that format. But to be more in line with our YouTube content that we're going to be dropping, definitely you want to catch that. I think we decided on the title for that one. That was Boss Fest Unfiltered. What did we decide on?
So far is Boss Fest Unfiltered. Oh my goodness. In the club, we all fam.
What's up? What's up? So y'all already reading comments.
I love the comments sometimes. My bad.
I know
you. He told me don't read the comments today, y'all. I just can't help myself.
No, she ain't gonna have no choice but to read these comments today.
It says if passive aggressive was a couple, you know what? That is good. Like, I feel like that's a label for us. If passive aggressive was a couple,
we would not be putting that on a shirt.
Oh, you don't want that on a shirt?
No. Nope.
But I feel like it's like the title fits pretty good.
If you say so. I'm not gonna rock with that, but sure, you got it.
Sometimes I can be passive aggressive. I know you don't want to accept it, but it is what it is.
You always aggressive, that's for sure. I don't know about the passive part, but aggressive, you got that.
I'm such a nice person.
I hear you. But listen, today's topics. We're gonna bounce around a little bit. So we're gonna touch on
y'all hanging out because I think it's gonna be good.
The Black Project 2025. If you ain't heard about it, You're going to hear about it today. We're going to talk about the 18-point blackmail agenda. If you haven't heard about it, you're going to hear about it today. And we're also going to be talking about standing on business. So we definitely going to have a great show today. So in light of the recent election, there's been different narratives and stuff put out there. And, you know, we want to try to stay as much away from political stuff as possible because it always creates a divide. But through that divide, you know, you learn to.
No, because remember, I said to you months ago, I said we should not play in a political space because people get their feelings hurt. And you said, no, like that's what everybody's doing right now. We should be political. And I said, all right, you want to smoke, then I get what you asked for.
I be trying to be make peace, and you just say,
dang, you know what? Because Jason just said we was passive aggressive.
Oh my God.
That's gonna have to be on the shirt because I can't help myself. Go ahead, talk about the topic.
Got it. So in light of recent developments, new presidencies and things of that nature. We've seen this tide of this changing of narratives and initiatives. So there's a new initiative put out there, Black Project 2025. It's supposed to highlight things that as a community, things that we would be like to go after, try to change, make improvements on, instead of being so dependent upon everything, government and stuff like that. There's a new initiative out there. If you haven't searched it up, it's called the Black Project 2025. Edwina put it on to me because she seen it on her ultimate news source, TikTok.
Don't do that, because TikTok be giving a lot of good information. Like, you get small clips of information, and I feel like people don't have a long attention span. So you get to, you know, you hit the information and you get what you're looking for. Yeah. You got to watch out for the fake news. But other than that.
Oh, see, that's the problem with TikTok. Because now it's fake news. You didn't already. I didn't say it's all
fake news. I said sometimes you have to watch out for the fake news. Like, you got to dodge it. Sometimes
you have to watch out for the fake news.
I mean, fake news is out there regardless of what platform you paying attention to. I'm just telling you.
I'm with you.
I like TikTok because I can get, you know, information in small form.
I like it. So, Black Project 2025. You came across it. And what were some of the points that, if you don't mind?
I don't know, because this is not a news show. So I'm just going to tell you, because you're trying to be very, like, you know.
I'm not. Go. Then do your thing.
Oh, yeah. When he closes his eyes like that, those of y'all can see him when he closes his eyes like that. That means he really irritated. Just so y'all know. When
don't
he closes
calling
his
out my
eyes,
character flaws.
That's what happened.
My character traits. I mean, go ahead.
So, the Black Project 2025 is really just to uplift the Black community. It is exactly what it sounds like. It's because the narrative is the Black dollar is what moves the U.S. So Black people and their spending habits can transform the economy. And what it's saying is basically Black people should put their dollar and invest in the Black businesses, the Black community. And if we have a network where you can see, you know, who is a Black business, where you should invest your dollars, we can control the narrative. And I feel like that's a very strong thing to say. Like, if our dollar is what's controlling the U.S., I'm going to double down and say it's the Black woman that's controlling that dollar.
Well, here we go.
I was going to say it. But so you like facts, right? So let me throw out my fake facts. So I want to preface it.
I closed my eyes so long, I almost went to sleep. Go ahead.
I want to just preface it and tell y'all I've done no research. So
here we go.
I've looked up nothing.
Looked up nothing.
But 75%.
Oh, there you go.
75% of all households are all money in households is controlled. Wait, let me preface. Let me say it again.
I'm going back to sleep.
75% of all Black households, there's a woman controlling the finances. That means women are moving the dollars. 75%. That's my mark that I'm putting there. Somebody look it up, because I haven't researched anything.
So wrong.
But is it close?
No, it's in every household. The woman can control 75 cents of every dollar.
Like, no, that's not what I was trying to say. How are you going to tell me what I wanted to say?
You said facts. So I said, let me provide facts. I didn't know you were just going to tell lies.
I don't want real. I just told everybody I looked up nothing.
Go ahead.
Follow me, please.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
goodness.
Yeah, let's not tell
all
that.
I'm saying is, if we're saying the black dollar controls a narrative, I'm telling you there's a woman behind that black dollar controlling that. That's what I want to say.
Okay.
And then I wanted to double down and say, you know, that 75% of all households have that. You know, whatever.
See,
whatever.
I just think it's crazy. Because number one, when you think about Project 2025, the way it initially came out, it was brought out by the Heritage Foundation, and it had a lot of what you guess you would call it Make America First agendas.
That you said Black Project 2025. I said,
when you think about Project 2025,
I heard black and you didn't say black, but I want to make sure that we all know that's not what you said.
Whatever. When you think about Project 2025 and how it initially came to us, it was produced by the Heritage Foundation, and they had a lot of, we'll call it, pro-America agendas that didn't necessarily seem like it fit what we would need as a community. The Black 2025 Project, the little bit I've been able to read and see, it's about creating a black infrastructure, right? It's about putting our dollars to work in our communities the right way, so that way we can keep spending in our communities. We already know any dollar that we make or we earn is rarely spent in the black community versus like Jewish communities, where that dollar may turn two or three times in their community before it actually leaves their community. Black dollars, they don't stay in our community. We give it to everybody else. So it's like, man, how do we create the hospitals? How do we create the schools, the grocery stores, the hospitals? It's creating that infrastructure within our community, so that way, regardless of who's in power, election, or things like that, it doesn't matter to us. We are already in a position of self-sustainability, which I thought was a good play. I know it's something that's just now getting out there. I don't know how many people have even heard about it or if it even came across their page. I encourage everybody to go look it up.
Y'all, I want to invite y'all to the meetings because we meeting.
Edwina went to a meeting that didn't go.
I didn't go to the meeting.
She went to a meeting. She was invited to a meeting. She didn't go, but go ahead.
2025 has meetings that we can all be a part of. I'm just telling y'all, come in, have a seat. Let's learn about the agenda. So it doesn't matter who's in office. We can move the black dollar in the black community. And one thing that I think we've been very strong on saying is we feel like we need to support each other. And I feel like in other communities, they have gotten that down and they do that very well.
Why do you feel that they support each other in other communities versus us?
I feel like it's been like embedded in us just as a divide. You ask me, don't make faces if you ask me a question.
I didn't think you were just going to start off with just making it up like so quickly.
I'm not making it up. I'm telling you, you what I think.
I get it. I thought you would at least try with a fact.
Can I tell you what I think?
No.
I don't want to tell you no facts. I'm telling you what I think.
Some type of factual
space. I think it's been embedded in us to really, y'all, I'm going to walk away from the podcast. I am going to walk away from the podcast. You ask me what I think, and I'm telling you,
okay. I'm listening,
that the black household has been divided for centuries.
Centuries. We've been divided for centuries. Not decades, but centuries.
Okay, well, let's say decades then.
Y'all, we've been divided for centuries.
We've been divided, hell. We've been divided.
Go ahead. I'm just saying. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. We've been divided for centuries. Well, I swear, this new election is already starting off wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
We just throwing out all types of random stuff.
Just say, I dare you to get in his screen. And now I want to so bad. I was so lost on what we were talking about, but now I just want to get in your screen. Okay, let me bring you back.
Go ahead. We've been divided for centuries. Continue.
See, this is the problem with you. Anyway, what you asked me?
I asked you.
You don't even know. So let's move on.
Go ahead, move on.
The point is, I'm really excited that there is a Black Project 2025.
Okay.
I feel like it is a long time coming. And over anything, I just think as a community, we should unite. That's just my whole point. That's why I brought it to you, is I feel like if there's a chance to use a Black business, you should. And I think as Black people, we should do, you know, good business and elevate ourselves. It's just about elevating us in our community. And I'm all for it.
I feel that. I like the way the Jewish community do their thing. Whenever they open a business, a Jewish person opens up a business in their community, it's already a rule given that other Jewish people going to patronize that business for at least 3 months until that business is able to sustain itself with outside traffic. But they're going to create the buzz. They're going to create the energy that makes people want to go to that business. And it's inherent. It's a process that's inherent in them. I think we as Black people, we used to share that narrative. Segregation happened, or the end of segregation happened, and we wanted to be more inclusive into everything and to prove that we deserve a place at the table, which we do. But we forgot about the own tables that we had built in our communities long ago and abandoned them. So now we out here like wanting people to put us at their tables. Hell with that. Let's go back.
Did you just do a dance? I just want to call out when you was like, we stood at tables, you had did a shimmy. Is that what you did?
I didn't know if it was
remnants of a shucking and a jiving, so I just wanted to ask.
I moved my body. Why is it a shucking and a jive?
I asked. I just asked you a question. Now I'm dancing. You said when we want to get at the table and you had did a little.
So like, I danced.
Yes. I just asked you a question.
Yeah. See, I be talking on some real stuff and then you hit us with that. That was all off topic.
Question.
Whatever.
Everybody seen what I seen.
No, they didn't. They can barely see that on the camera. It's just
my bad.
My
bad. I didn't know if you was just, you know, saying
whatever.
That all people of wanted to shuck and jive at tables. I just asked you.
I'm just saying, listen, anybody out there, if I get it this way, just know you going to get it the same way. There is no difference. We in there. But
Wait a minute. What does that have to do with the conversation?
What's that?
You heard what I...
What? If I get it this way...
Rewind, roll it back.
If I get it this way, then you give it to everybody this way?
No, I don't give it to everybody this way.
You only give it to me this way?
Yeah.
FakeFacts.com.
That's not fake facts.
Put it on the shirt. FakeFacts.com. All right.
I do only give it to you.
Fair enough. So I think it's a good thing with this initiative they put out there, calling it the Black Project 2025. You know, that's definitely controversial within itself, especially when you think of the original Project 2025. But I like it. I'm hoping to see more from it. I'm actually hoping it grows some legs and begin to take form. Like I said, it's just in the introductory stages of it right now. So who knows what type of leverage it may do or what it may grow into. But I just think the start of the conversation is great.
So the comments are heated. Like, I don't even know if I could go back. Like, it is just some good information in the comments. And I know we're going to jump to a whole bunch of topics, but I do want to read this comment. It does say true, but if we come together and support each other, we could be unstoppable. And that was my whole point of bringing that to you is let's shoot for unstoppable.
Unstoppable sounds great. We got to learn to truly work with one another. I think I'm going to say I see the shift in our communities. We are learning to appreciate each other more, respect each other a little bit more, and value the time that each other is putting in there. The more I go to different conferences and events and things like that, I see more and more Black people and saying, hey, man, how can I build? How can I provide? Or how can I be more for my community and do service? Nobody needs to do it all by themselves. If everybody does a little, we get there. So I'm excited to what the quote-unquote Black Project 2025 may bring, but
okay, so we'll see. I feel like you're about to switch our topic. I want to read this this comment. It says, I'm not mad at the idea, but I think Black people are focused on creating agendas as opposed to actually supporting them.
I don't have a rebuttal to that.
I mean, I don't have a rebuttal to that either because I can, you know, somewhat agree with that. Like, it's always like the new thing, the new agenda, and we rally behind that, and then it like slowly fizzles out. The question is, how do we stop that? Because we really could be unstoppable if we put agenda together and we all support this thing, and then we move as one to that support. But think about like Black Lives Matter. Like, that was like a huge thing. I think, you know, like some bad press came out, because I'm not going to go too deep into that, but some bad press came out and then that kind of like fizzled out. But the overall idea of the agenda of what it was creating was something that was amazing. And it's like the moment somebody was able to come in and start like tearing pieces, we just kind of all like fell apart.
I get you. I'm not even going to touch into that or even go.
Because that'd be a whole new topic on its own.
That'd be a whole new topic.
I,
on its own.
I felt like I was just creating something completely different.
And I think this next one going to create so much energy that we just going to see what it is. So,
well, I want to know what the next topic is.
So the next topic is the 18-point blackmail political
agenda. Just feel like it's going to create energy because you want to talk about it.
And yeah, because I think it creates energy. Because when you hear it say the 18-point blackmail political agenda, what it lets me know is that, because what we used to hear or what we've heard in social media and spaces that, man, black men aren't speaking up, or it's always saying nobody's talking to the black man and no one's listening to the black man.
So, now, who said that nobody's talking to the black man?
The black man.
Okay, the black man said it himself.
Yes, the black man said that nobody's talking to the black man.
So however, like you can put out fake news about yourself?
Whatever. Okay, okay, let me get to the damn topic.
My bad. My bad. I just, okay.
God dang. So
just blink.
I'm about to. It's getting dangerous over here. So this was put out there by T. Hassan Johnson, a PhD, and the 40,000 plus members of the Brotherhood of the YouTube's Onyx Report. So they came up with 18 points that we feel like in the black community.
I feel like it's fair that you get to use your phone for facts.
I feel like I can use my phone for whatever I want when I want to use it. Let me continue. So it has 18 points that I think are valid.
Are you going to read all 18 of them?
No, I'm going to read some that I think will definitely create some opportunities. So okay. There's one is a family court reform. And it has like 17 sub points and things.
What number is that? Because I feel like that's, you went number, straight to family reform.
That's number one.
Okay, okay.
So?
Oh, and this comment says, see another agenda.
So?
Why can't we just do the work?
I don't know how that's another agenda. It's a, I guess it is an agenda. But why can't we do multiple agendas at the same time?
I don't know. I just want to see you go get out of pocket. Like, I'm just picking
the
thing.
I was about to.
Because you like to be like, oh, I'm Kevin. You know, man. Baby, we came to the table. You said we Boss Fest uncut. Get uncut.
Don't be hitting on my table.
Hit on this damn table all I want to.
Yeah. Okay. So, family court reform, different sub points, education,
mm-hmm.
affirmative action for black men.
Just for black men?
Yes, just for black men. It's okay, the 18-point agenda for black men. Targeted small business support. Let's see. Black man-specific reparations for the transatlantic slave trade. The United Nations, we charge the United States with genocide of the black male. Then it's the black male's right to self-defense. And the falsely accusation offender registry. So if you go look up the 18-point blackmail political agenda, like I said, so they've been working on this, I think, since 2016, putting the stuff together, having these conversations. But there was a lot of things on here that I thought made sense, especially as a black man, especially when you talk about the family court stuff, right? And one of the things that I thought was prevalent that I think really makes sense is that, hey, if I agree that this is my child, then I should automatically have 50-50 rights, regardless of what our relationship is, whether we married and we get a divorce or we split up or whatever, then I should automatically have 50% rights to the child. And there shouldn't be no seeking of child support because I'm agreeing to take ownership of my portion of the child. If a man says, all right, I don't want to deal with that, then that's a whole nother level. Then he's forfeiting his rights. But a man shouldn't just automatically go into the courtroom with a lower percentage than the woman because he didn't give birth to the child.
I was with you until you start talking about that no child support. Like, let's be for real. Like, 50-50% and no child support, like, those two different things.
That's part of the agenda. If I'm taking care of the child 50% of the time, you taking care of the child 50% of the time, why do the man still need to pay child support to the woman 100% of the time?
I'm not saying that the man has to pay 100% of the time. What I said was I didn't agree.
But the 50% that you got the child, they need to pay child support.
It really depends on the level of income. So the man who wants to be the head of the household in every sense of the word, what does your income surmount to opposed to hers? Like, so if I have the child 50% of the time and I'm providing 50% of the care, does that match like what your income would be? And I feel like in certain situations, maybe there's child support, maybe there isn't, but I feel like it's all based on income. But I don't disagree with the 50%. I feel like moms need a break too. Get your kid for 50% of the time.
I hear you. I hear you. Just sound like you already want to debut.
I do want to debut what you just said, because I said 50% is not what it's going to be if you make so much more than me. Like, there are certain things that you have to pay for the child. And I go beyond that and say, I feel like child support should go beyond 18. So these are my views. I debut what you are saying.
Touche. You got me on that one. Miss Smoke, you got me. So.
And I'm going to say debut the whole podcast.
I know you're going to say it and put it on the shirt. And put it on the shirt.
Y'all just know this whole podcast, we are debuting stuff that Kevin is saying.
Yeah, whatever. So when I read that one about the family court system and things like that, I said, you know what? There is a lot of situations where it's unfair for the man that, you know, he's automatically going into these situations at a disadvantage. And now he's got to fight for his rights to prove that he wants to be the father to his child. And then the courts create such a divide between the mother and the child and the father that it's almost like you have to work double time just to prove that you want to be the father that you told yourself that you was going to be, and you made the promise to yourself and that child. But the court system puts these barriers in front of you. It's like, man, why? And I've seen it play out in different situations with men that really was trying to do everything the right way. And the moment the woman got frustrated or mad about something, and then it became an attack, right?
I feel like, really, to be quite honest, you need to check your friend group, because you be having a lot of friends that be having these situations with the women. And I don't know if I know these friends, because I'm really just thinking it's like one person. You got one person and you be using it like it's multiple people, because I don't know what woman is like, you know what, you can't see this kid, I'm tired. Like, you can't get your kid. We got to go to court and do that. Like, I just don't know of that particular woman in 2024.
In 2024. But you knew him in 2023?
Like, I didn't know him in 2023 either. The point is, what I'm saying is, I feel like you know one guy and you're like riding that whole storyline. And you're like, all my friends say that, you know, like they got to fight for their kids. Like, come on now.
Whatever, man.
I'm not saying that it can't be a possibility, but I'm just saying I feel like women want support too. Women want men to be in their children's lives. Like, I want my son to be raised by his father. I don't know of a ton of women, especially those that are trying to elevate themselves, that are trying to hang children over men's heads like it's a treat and be like, nah, 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 nah. I don't know of them. So I'm going to debut that statement as well. Just go ahead and close your eyes. Just blink. You getting frustrated? You frustrated?
I can't deal with you.
This is what Boss Fest Uncut gonna get him.
This is what Boss Fest Uncut is gonna get him. I swear. So, I'll go to another one then. It says the black man's right to self-defense, right? It says gun control has historically been used to disarm black people generally. And the black man specifically, the Jim Crow laws and black codes have specific language and on restrictions of black gun ownership. In the modern day, there is no specific language as such, but the impacts are similar. The restriction of gun control on access to common self-defense technology has left black men at the risk of both criminal victimization as well as increased contact with law enforcement, primarily see black men and boys as criminals, often resulting in harassment, criminal records, or even death. So when I came across that one, I was like, you know what? It had a little bit of validity to it, but I feel like we already have a good amount of self-defense law, especially if you're in the South. I'm not sure how this works in northern states and stuff like that, but I do know ain't nobody telling you not to have gun ownership, and any type of gun ownership we wanted to have, we haven't seen no restrictions or barriers to it, but apparently there are certain things, and I'll go back to when we used to go to gun shows. Like, it was like a different type of energy, attention, you know, attention towards us when, you know, we trying to look at certain things.
Yeah, it was like you felt like you weren't supposed to be there.
It was like people almost...
You're trying to tap dance around it. Like, people would act like this is not for you.
They would act like it was not for you, and what are you doing with the gun?
Yes.
So, that's why I was like, you know what, there is some validity there, but everything that we wanted to do with guns or whatever firearms we wanted to have, we've been able to have it. So, but I think it's a good point. Anything else on that one?
No, I mean.
This one here I thought was a real good one, right? And it's the false accusation offender registry, right? They want to create a false accusation offender registry for those who make false accusations for child molestation, child abuse, domestic violence, false paternity, rape, sexual assault.
I like how you tried to say that false paternity.
Listen, if you out here telling people that's his baby, and you know that ain't his baby.
The baby look just like him, though. Mm-mm.
Your ass should be
the
on
the
registry.
The baby look like him.
Listen, so your ass should go on the registry.
There's no way that you should have a registry because I thought you was the father.
Listen, so I like this one. The registry must be made public. Schools and employers must have access to this information. Offenders are obligated under penalty of law to disclose their status to anyone that the offender is, plans to be, or could be involved in some type of sexual or romantic relationship with. That means if you out here lying on dudes, before you get into a relationship with a man, if you've been deemed that person, you got to let me know, hey, man, I like to lie on men. I think that is a great, great addition. That's a great point. Can't be out here lying on us. Okay. Paternity is fraud is about 33%. Listen, I'm saying.
All right, let's move on to the next
topic. No, listen, I like that one. You hear about these stories of women trying to get, they manipulate the court system and say, oh man, he abused the child or he molested the child, and that's why they get.
You looking at me like what?
I'm just saying. Those are real testimonies from people.
I'm not going to touch that because
you ain't.
In today's society, I feel like women get victimized all the time. So,
Listen, if you're abiding by the law, then this doesn't apply to you, right? But this is for the people who use the court system as a weapon to target and attack men. Like I said, this can go for any man, but we know that the justice system has been unjustly harsh towards black men. So that's why.
Well, everybody wouldn't agree with that because I've heard other people say that the justice system is very fair to all men, regardless of their color. Would you not agree with that?
No, and there's statistics that show that that's not true, but okay.
I'm just wondering, you know, like I've heard that before.
I hear you. It ain't true, but I hear you. Just saying. I like some of them points.
All right, so you like some points.
I do.
Fair enough. I mean, I can agree with some of it. I don't agree with all of it, but I mean, that is what it is.
They got points on there about education and stuff like that. But I think anything about the court system, I think that's, we definitely should kind of look at that. But the reason why I bring that up is because before the election, and I'll be talking to some black men.
Oh, this one dude, y'all.
It was at least three black men that brought up some of these concerns, and they said, hey man, we don't feel like the Democratic Party is listening to us. We know the Republican Party ain't listening to us, but I don't want to continue to be put in a position where people are pretending to play in our face and they know they ain't gonna do nothing. My bad.
Oh, that dude's so funny. Like, what you looked at me like that for?
I'm sorry. Put it on the shirt. My bad. But they felt like, you know, the Democratic Party was playing with them. So they was like, man, they came across this information. That's how it landed on my lap. And they was like, man, I feel like a lot of these points that are being made in this agenda could be very beneficial. And one of the questions I asked them, I said, has anybody, Republican or Democrat, spoke to you about these points? And he was like, no. Have has anybody talked about it, regardless of political candidate, federal, local, whatever, talked about any of these points? Question, the answer again was no. But it did bring up the conversation, like, man, are we really saying the things that we want as Black men in our community? Are these our valid concerns? Some of them seem a little far-fetched. The reparations one, I don't ever think will ever come about. I just think that's just is what it is. I think reparations had a chance back in the late 1800s.
I mean, what I can say to what you're saying, nothing about the political, any of that,
right,
is I do like to hear that Black men are now having conversations. I do know there used to be a time and a place, and just from my perception, that Black men couldn't voice their feelings openly in a room of other Black men. And it almost gave, like, you have to always have this facade of you're strong and, you know, like, I'm taking care of home or whatever. So there weren't a ton of conversations, especially like out in the open, about feelings, about, you know, what we're hoping for the future, the community. Maybe that was barbershop talk, but I do like
say that was in the barbershop for sure, but continue.
Right. But what I'm saying is, if we're branching out beyond that and we can have open conversations about how we feel, what we want for our families and whatever. And I say we, but I mean Black men, I'm excited to hear that those conversations are now happening and we're progressively getting better as a community. So I can say that to what you said.
Yeah. So typically safe space for Black men to talk would be the barbershop. It'll be on the basketball court. It'll be those areas where, you know, there really wasn't any female presence around. And I'll say we are doing a lot better of voicing it out in more, I don't necessarily say aggressive ways, but we're definitely getting that point out there. And I don't necessarily think people are listening yet, but, you know, we got to keep speaking up on it.
All right. So what's the next topic you have?
Damn, don't just move through my topics. I am the narrator.
Oh, well. Damn.
Whatever, man. It was 18 points. I said 2. You breathing? You done already?
I'm just waiting. Like, okay, well, say some more, whatever you want to say points, but, like, let's move on.
I give up, y'all. I have my phone, put it down, what you're talking through, everything else. All right. Family court reform, that's still going there.
Oh, you still going through more of your point?
Because it was 17 of just that one. I'm going through the other ones. God dang.
Yeah, I know he told y'all this podcast was going to be good. Y'all didn't realize that you was going to watch him scroll through his phone for 15 minutes. But let's continue.
But she is right. Should have been more on it. It's just the way it looks on my phone. It's kind of hard to go through all of it and not skip over something. So I'm trying to find the right stuff. That one, it's not a good one. I'm sorry.
Y'all want to hear me? Let me do some like Jeopardy music. What is the music? Do, 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 do. Did I do it right? Is that the right noise? Because this is crazy.
I'm sorry. Listen, it wouldn't go back to the original screen where it was just short. Well, it was a short version of it. Damn, sorry.
Okay, now, well, then now I'm there. Go to the next topic.
Yeah, I'm there. Hey, man. Next topic, standing on business then. God dang it, since you on my neck.
Well, stand on business then. Whatever, I don't want to watch you scroll through your phone.
Whatever. Standing on business then. I'm sorry for scrolling through my phone trying to figure out these 18 points.
Oh, y'all, he but really bad.
We finna stand on business. So.
Well, then stand on it. Hell, I don't. Let me reiterate what I just said. I do not want to watch you scroll on your phone.
Fair sir. Enough. So. In recent days, especially in this household, because you see what she giving me, we've had to have these conversations with each other about stuff, especially in the workplace and things of that nature. My wife brought...
What kind of conversations have we had?
Just about, protecting our own interests and things of that nature. You brought up a story recently about a situation that happened with a colleague of yours.
Okay, I was like, I think you got to gather your thoughts because
You brought up a conversation with about a colleague that you felt was done unjustly in a setting that was designed for true development, and instead of this colleague was made to feel less than by a superior. And one of the things I said to you is, well, why didn't you say something? And he was like, man, this ain't the time or place to say anything. And I was like, shit, if everybody keeps approaching life in that same way, like, then we never going to be standing up for nothing. We just going to keep waiting until the right moment, and the right moment will never come. And that's why we keep dealing with these situations where people ain't feeling us.
I'm about to stand on some business right now. You decided to start this segment about a story on my business. And what is the purpose, sir?
Go.
I am going.
The goal is, well, the purpose is that you want to sit here and be like, man, we need to be doing more. We need to be, let me phrase this different.
Come on now.
And then praise them.
Come on, because when I start talking, I'm going to take you to church.
Fair enough. So what you said to me and I thought was concerned is that you didn't feel like it was the right place and time to do that. And I was like, man, I think this latter part of my business career, I've just been standing on whatever business I want to say in those moments, good or bad. I think it's made me feel better about the person I am now versus in holding in something and not letting it out, especially to the people that's creating their energy.
Wait a minute. So I'm very confused.
Okay.
One thing about the story that you told and how it correlates, but just so I understand, what you're trying to say is where you are in your life that you feel like it's requiring you to stand on business and tell people how you feel about certain things.
Yes. It made me realize, you know what, I had already started the process, but I can be better on it. And I started transforming it in my workspace, but not necessarily in my personal space, right? So there's a lot of times I'd be like, man, I really want to say this, or I really want to play it this way. But I try to think about it and take a step back. I'm like, you know what? Is this going to give me the result I'm looking for? Or is this going to create more of an issue that I really don't want to deal with in the future? I'm like, man, all right, man, some things I just let play out. But I'm starting to find myself in places now, in situations now, where I'm like, man, you know what? I just need to just go ahead and just say what I need to say, and whatever, however it falls, it is what it is, and we move on. But because of that situation that you brought to me, I was like, you know what? Has there been any other examples or any other situation where, you know, you feel like, man, you know what? These are the moments I want to stand on. I want to stand on my truth and my business and my purpose. And I want to just, you know, I'm not going to just allow certain things to impact me negatively or hold something in. That's just my statement.
Okay. So I guess what I'll say in, I don't know, just behind what you said was, I personally feel like I had been looking for years to find my voice. If you met me maybe even 10, 12 years ago, I'm definitely a different person now than I was then. And I came from, for lack of a better word, I feel like an emotionally abusive, like a situation growing up. And I feel like that caused me to be silent and insecure about who I was. But through growing up and like also taking on leadership, I've definitely found my voice. I said that to say that I feel like I'm in more situations that I voice my opinion. And if we're calling it standing on business, then I stand on business more often than not. To almost sometimes where people would be like, dang, you didn't even have to say that. Like a lot of times if I think something, I say it, and you know where you stand with me because I just say it. So it's not a type of thing where it's like, oh, she, you know, like she's hiding her hand or she's doing whatever. People either like it or they don't. But you definitely, there's no in between. And I think you get that with me. Now, to go back to the thing that you were talking about at my job, this was a business review. And I didn't like the feedback that this young lady was getting because I knew the work ethic that she had and what she put into it. And I even said this on a previous podcast that her feedback was she needed to be bigger. and she needed to branch out. And I'm just so tired of hearing bigger. Like, I've been in a leadership role for at least the last 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, and I'm going to call it what it is, a lot of times white men that were in higher leadership positions would say, be bigger, smile more. You didn't get this position because you're not smiling enough. I've even had people say, well, why don't you wear makeup? Because that would make you look prettier and more approachable. So if we're standing on business and we're saying that, I'm over it. Like, for me, that's not how I am as a leader. Like, I feel like I have to be 10 times tougher than the man standing next to me to even get looked at or get the accolade to say, like, hey, good job. But that's my thoughts on what it is. But to go back to what you're saying with standing on business, I don't think that I'm a person that doesn't stand on business. And I guess that's where I have to put it. I know we've had like a lot of in-depth conversations in our transition from Boss Fest to Boss Fest Uncut. And I think some people will be able to agree with some of the conversations we're having, and some people will dislike those conversations that we're having. But either way, we're living in our truth. So I definitely think, even when we're talking about this podcast space, that I stand on business. I honestly feel like you skirt the line. But if someone asks me, what I'm doing is I'm always standing on business.
And there you have it. So you made up an interesting point. You feel like I skirt the line, right?
I do.
Fair enough. That's your opinion.
Yes, it is.
But could sometimes standing on business be
bad? Yes.
I don't necessarily say bad, but used in a way to attack. And is it intentional, or is you just like, man, I'm just telling you my
truth?
Are
you asking me, is it intentional, or are you just saying, like, either way?
I'm just saying, I guess saying either way.
Because I can only speak from like my perception of standing on business.
Right.
Because the way it works is I can start off saying, you know, like how I feel about a certain thing. And if the conversation goes away, like, you know, the conversation may be heading in a certain direction, could the words go aggressively and be attacked? It absolutely could be. Like, I can be very lethal with these words. And sometimes I don't even know it. You understand how that goes. Like, I just be like, anybody could get it.
You just fire shots and be like, damn, I ain't know I hit you.
Sometimes people catch strays. I mean, I'm just being honest here.
Put that on. Sometimes people catch strays. That is terrible. That is so terrible.
So this comment says there could be negative outcomes when you stand on business, and I'm agreeing with that.
So those negative outcomes, that's a good statement. Sometimes standing on business, it might could even actually hurt your progress of what you've been trying to do. Is it worth hurting your progress to stand on business or to tell your truth?
I think it definitely depends on what the truth is. So if I have to put it in, let's say, like workplace situations, sometimes standing on business could be the difference of you keeping your job and losing it. And it depends on how like egregious the thing is. And you feel like, hey, I need to stand on this business, and it just is what it is. I think those are, you have to weigh, you know, all the situations. I think a lot of times when people are choosing to stand on business, they don't understand how the other person is going to react to what that looks like. So that's like people listening to the podcast right now. I didn't realize till, let's say, like a few months back that you can have an influence. You know, like maybe we have this amount of viewers, but somebody somewhere could be influenced by what we say. Somebody somewhere could, you know, let's say like buy a product if it was us who was saying, like, you know, get
buy that product.
Right. And I know that I do that. I am influenced. I listen to a podcast all the time. And if this person said, man, I really like stand behind this, I might be influenced to purchase it. So, but I think when you're at a beginning level, you don't understand that you carry influence. And what happens is your words sometimes can have power. So can standing on business affect you negatively? It 100% could, because the people that have now given you power or like followed your influence can now say, I no longer stand with you. I don't agree with this. And that's a hard stop for them, and be like, no, I want out. Or you could find, you know, different people who are like, I'm happy that you took that stance. I want to mess with you. So I think it could go either way. But yes, standing on business could be bad.
hey, I'm just processing it all right now. And I'm thinking about the word influence. And I never thought about, I guess, but when we jumped in front of this lens, it was just like, hey man, promote a brand, promote a business, tell a little bit about ourselves, but how do we sway an audience? I didn't realize that people really do pay attention to the moves we make and the things we say, connections we make, people we talk to, pictures we take and things like that. And they are influenced by those things to the point to where now when certain things go astray, they come back and double down like, dang, but I thought you was doing this way or you was doing this that way. Why does this now look different to me? And I'm learning that, man. I got
questions behind what you're talking about.
I gotta stand on whatever it is. However this voice is, I gotta be able to own it. And do I skirt the line a little bit?
Yes.
I try to make peace. I don't necessarily
think I just wanted to make sure you understood. Yes, all right. Yes, you skirt the line.
I may skirt the line a little bit, but it's
a lot of bit.
I may skirt the line a lot of bit. Mm-hmm. But it is to make, I guess in my mind, to create peace. Because I don't know which bridge I'm going to have to walk across later or which bridge I may have to walk back across. I don't know.
I understand that. But me standing on business, are you saying that you're like trying to make peace? Doesn't mean that I don't think we can walk the bridge. I think it's a clear understanding that people have the ability to agree and disagree and still be cordial. And me understand like, hey, I don't agree with your views or I don't agree with what this is, but that's okay. Now, there is a line to be drawn when we're talking about race, because there's a couple things that I can't change about myself, which is my race, and I cannot change that I'm a woman. So if we're not going down that line, then there's a lot of things that I can say, man, I don't agree with what you said, and we can like argue it out. Me and you have had very clear debates on a lot of different things, especially as it comes to like raising children, and it's like argue back and forth, and then you sit down and you think about what that person said, and you can come back to the table and say, you know what? I can see a little bit of what you're saying. And sometimes that's healthy to be able to hear the other person's side. So I'm always open to that. And I think as I get, I guess I'll say older, I'm more accepting of everyone's not going to have the same view. And that's okay. Like that's what makes us different. And that also is what helps us get further. Like if I can learn something from you and broaden, you know, my knowledge, that's going to make me a better person in the end, but be willing to do the same. Secondly, what I'm saying is as long as you're not attacking me as a person, then I'm okay. Because again, I can never change that I'm a woman and I can never change that I'm Black. So those two things are my non-negotiables. But the rest of the stuff, I'm kind of like, let's talk about it. Let's debate it. I'm cool with it. And I like to go back and forth. You already know I'm down for a good debate. But me standing on business, if that's something that like, I guess a person can't deal with, then you got to take a step back. Like, this is not what you want then.
I'm with you.
But for the Kevins of the world who are like, I'm just in this making peace and whatever, what does that look like when you can never pick a side of an argument and you got to play back and forth to, oh, yeah, yeah, like, I understand that. Oh, yeah, I understand that. So you just look wishy-washy. And at some point, like you do have to pick a lane and say, you know what? I do have a hard stance on this topic.
Wait. I ain't gonna let you keep running on that damn tangent. So I do pick my lanes.
Well, you said
I do pick my sides.
I'm repeating what you said.
But I choose to go for the peaceful option first. Once I realize there's no peace,
okay,
then whatever the side I landed on, that's what it was. However it plays out from that point, like in my mind, I went for the peaceful solution. If me going for the peaceful solution still created turmoil for somebody, then oh well from that point. It is what it is. I've given you what I thought was the best solution that was the best representation of me. And I think about, you know, some of the key points you just talked about. There are certain things that are non-negotiable, they're non-debatable. But you said that, but I was like, man, in this day and age, man, people can say, you want to wake up tomorrow and say you're a man and that you white, even though it ain't really a realistic thing. Technically now you can in this new world, which I think is crazy as hell, but I hear you.
Those are the things that I can't change.
I won't even say that, but that may cause
issues. Those are the things that I will not change for me then, okay? I was born black, and I was born a woman, like, since you're doing the most.
I got it. All I'm telling you is that I hear you. So as long as nobody infringes upon that in some way or try to, I guess, debate that, then everything else is up for understanding.
I think I'm a pretty understanding person, and I don't think a lot of people get that because, like, I guess I talk in definitives, but a lot of stuff doesn't necessarily, like, get under my skin, and I'm always willing to have, like, a conversation about it. But I was thinking about this situation. I'm going to take you back to you coaching Little League.
Here we go. Let's go.
So there was a situation that happened, and all I'm going to say is we do not need a supervisor, and you'll understand what I'm saying. And
yep.
If anyone in podcast world knows the story, then y'all know how it ends. But nonetheless, you always take the peaceful road. Someone didn't agree with what you were saying, and they decided to have a meeting and talk about you. And it made me think when you were saying that, like, in every situation, I pick war and you pick peace. Because I was ready to go to war for you, and you was like, let's have a meeting and let's talk about it. And at some point in certain things, I think you do have to pick. You got to pick a side. Like, it's not always going to end peacefully. And for me, I was like, man, hey, like, dudes want to fight. Like, it's whatever. And you were literally like, well, I'm going to, like, you know, like, let's talk about it and let's make sure we're good. And I'm just thinking about how you tread the line.
So what you're saying is true. You're definitely missing a lot of the context behind it.
Because
so,
everybody's not going to understand the context
No. But let's put it to like this. So let's say that I went to war. I matched your war energy, which, believe me, I wanted to, right?
Did I don't mean, think you wanted to.
Can you listen?
Oh, you was going to cuss. Oh, I got him now.
Without all that extra.
I can't. I really can't. But go ahead.
Learn to. So. Anybody that was involved with that situation, it was more than just me and my feelings on the line. And that's what sometimes you got to look at in these situations. It was going to be the separation of a whole youth organization. People switching sides, people trying to draw lines in the sand and say, well, I'm riding with this one. And if they gone, then I'm the... So at that point in time, I was like, you know what? I have to make peace of this situation. Even though I'm the one that's going to come out, like, even though it's unfair to me because I didn't deserve what just happened, is it worth destroying the entire organization? My wife was like, fuck them kids.
What are you trying to say?
And I said, let's protect the kids. So, yes, in that situation, I chose peace. I chose a more peaceful situation, which in reality, what I want to do is blow some stuff up. But I chose a peaceful situation. And that's what I'm talking about, and sometimes in these narratives, right? It's like, man, what is the best way to do this? We can both keep blowing stuff up because that's what we want to do. Let's blow it all up.
You looking at me like you feel as though blowing stuff up is bad. And you act like nobody said I was like, fuck them kids, that was bad. I'm not going to deny that is what I said. So it is what it is. I stood on business. I still believe about them kids. I just wanted to chill in that silence. So I wanted you to understand, like, that is really when I say, like, man, okay, I thought through this. This was the outcome and whatever, whatever. And when I stand on this business, that's what it is. Yes, that's what I believed in at the moment. So that's what I told you. And I haven't changed my thoughts behind it. But I am willing to explain to you why I believe that. And I felt like you should have blew some stuff up. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say.
I got it. So understand this. I'm going to take a page from my wife and we're going to start just blowing stuff up. We're going to see where everything ends.
I just think you can't always skirt the line in every situation.
I don't think it's skirting the line sometimes. I think it's just, hey, man, I looked at the options. It was, all right. Option A gets me this. Option B gets me this.
I look at options too. You think I don't?
Sometimes you don't. You just be like, let's go to war.
No, I go to war if the situation calls for going to war.
But sometimes even when the situation calls for war, you need to look at, man, is war worth it?
So, I do look at if war is worth it. What are you talking about?
And in your mind, sometimes war is worth it.
Yes.
Got it. So that's why I said we're going to blow stuff up, because in your mind, sometimes war is worth it.
So in that scenario, if I could pretty much explain whatever happened where they had a meeting about you, and this was a lot of years back, so I might be getting some of the, I guess, information a little screwed, okay. But you tried to talk to the person and be like, hey, I don't understand what this is or whatever. And the people disliked you so much, they made shirts about you. They didn't like you, so they made a shirt about you. And I said, hold up, because you must don't understand the behind the scenes of what's happening. And so I consciously made a decision, and I said, okay, line A says we could do this, and line B says we could do this. Which one should I choose? And I wholeheartedly chose my option. And I do that a lot, and I just feel like I can make conscious decisions very quickly. And yes, there are always repercussions to the decisions that we make in life. And sometimes if I blow something up after the fact, I'm like, hey, you ain't have to do that much. And sometimes I'm like, you didn't do enough.
I'm with you. So. Closing out 2024, you standing on
complete. I already said before that I was standing on business, and I think people maybe they don't understand the term.
Or maybe they don't understand your term.
Maybe they don't understand my term. Standing on business isn't a threat.
It means that, hey, I don't know. I guess it depends on who it comes from.
No, it's like if someone says, hey, you believe that certain way, then stand on that. If that's your belief of, you know, whatever that is, then stand on that, because that's what you believe. And that's all I'm saying. Like, I have a belief system in certain things, and I believe so heavily in those things that I'm willing to stand on them. That's like, hey, I'm like riding for my family or whatever it is. Like, this is where my allies lie. So that's what I mean by like standing on business. I don't think people should take it as a threat when someone says, hey, I'm standing on business. It's just I'm standing behind what I said. Like, I believe this certain type of way. Stand on what you believe in. That is what it is. Now, there's also like, hey, don't play in my face. And I guess like, let's correct that, because I think I've said that like a couple of the last podcasts.
Put some context behind that. Like, don't play in my face.
Playing in my face just means like there's a certain type of thing. And I like, it's energy from anyone. And you know, like, hey, man, I don't really like do you. I don't really like mess with you. And, you know, like you see somebody somewhere, you're like, hey, girl, hey, you know, hugs and kisses. And I'm like, there's no need for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you really just don't mess with that person, then just don't mess with them. If you like, hey, you know, like I feel this type of way towards you, that's okay. And I'm here to tell you, like, it's okay, because we all have feelings. I don't feel harshly towards anyone. And if anyone feels like I do, I'm open to a conversation. But what I'm telling you is there's no need to play about it. And that's it. And I've always been like that. That's not a new me or whatever. It's the same me.
It is.
Don't play in my face. So all it is just a new statement to say, no, I don't want to fade.
I think you're putting more of a definition behind it now. So before it's like, don't play in my face, but I would still be kind of like, I guess it would still be like not a outward display of, you know what, we ain't gotta go down this road, or we ain't gotta entertain the foolishness. Before, you know, you would still kind of play the love, you know, if we out in spaces and, you know, oh hey, how you doing? Like now you're like, man, if you don't do me, I don't do you. We cool. We ain't gotta speak, even if we interact in some of the same circles, same places. I can respect that we don't do each other, and it be that.
Right. And I'm the type of person that we're in a space, then like I show people love. Like if I rock with you, I'm going to show you love, and it is what it is. All I'm saying is you don't have to feel obligated to do that if you don't rock with us. And that's what people are saying, like, hey, don't play in my face. Like certain people, like we're in now a era where it's like, hey, support me. And I'm looking for genuine support. The people that I want around me, I want people who really want to see us level up. Like the community that we're trying to build and what we're trying to bring to Boss Fest, I want people who can see like this being on another level. when we're bringing like these people to come in and teach and level up and do these different things, people who really want to rock with that and say, man, like, I can see this being here. Y'all keep moving in this space and truly mean that. Those are the people that I want around me. I don't want that. Hey, sis, that's cool. And then in the next moment, like, I don't know what she's doing because that shit's stupid. That's bogus. I don't want those people. Those are fake people. So I'm just saying, if you feel like I don't really rock with you wholeheartedly, you don't have to play in my face. So when I honestly tell you, hey, I see you, I want you to do good, I'm really like rooting for you, I want people to know I really mean that. If I didn't mean that, I wouldn't say it, because I pick a side and I stand on business, and I'm not going to play in your face because I don't want you to play in mine. That is the full definition of what it is I'm saying.
I guess that wasn't a stray. You shot that one right at me, huh?
Hmm?
All right, y'all. It's been another great Wednesday on the Boss Fest podcast.
Y'all check out the YouTube content. So this is just a clip of what Boss Fest Uncut will be.
Uncut, unfiltered. What the hell is this, BET?
Oh, it is unfiltered.
BET. It's uncut.
I bet you used to love BET Uncut Dinner.
That was my joint.
I know it was.
Ooh.
I know it was.
Listen. Yeah, that was.
We ain't even gonna talk about it because I know it was. I already know. Man. That's enough. Listen. Anyway, so my bad. Boss Fest Unfiltered, but check out our YouTube content. That's what we're transitioning to, and we would love for y'all to join us and continue the content with us. We definitely appreciate y'all hanging with us this Wednesday. That's all I got.
All you got. We out of there.
Peace.